Hello, everybody. Today is a very serious day.
Monday.
That's right.
Garfield
and it's also the day before Election Day. That's
yeah.
It.
I bet you're either wondering why we're in such good spirits or totally understanding it because we don't know what happened yet. And you
I'm
do.
Suffering. I'm still suffering, and it hasn't even happened yet. So maybe by the time that you listen to this, you'll think, wow, Eric, that was all for nothing.
You were
or,
very
wow,
strong.
Eric, you were totally right. This is bad.
This is bad. It's horrible.
And let me just say,
podcast
no matter,
has since been outlawed.
No matter what you think, no matter, you know, where your alignments are, shit's good. You know, no. You know what to do. I'm not even going to say it. You know what to do.
It's too late to tell people to vote.
I can't even tell you to vote because it already happened. So, in a perfect world, we all know which outcome we want to take here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay, cool.
But hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm good. This is, like, podcast Christmas Eve. You know, it's the last...
What?
It's the last podcast before... Or is there one more week before next gen? I can't remember.
No, there's one. No,
next week.
No, yeah, there's one more week.
Yeah, I can't keep track of
it. You're trying to jump the gun. You're just in such a rush to get the next gen. Yes, it is.
I want to touch that controller. I hear good things.
I've heard and seen nothing but good things. It could even work on the Switch. It's pretty neat.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Mostly, I've heard that Rumble stuff is actually kind of what they thought the Switch was promising.
Are you actually going to play Astro's Playroom or Playhouse?
100% I'm going to.
Well, you played Astrobot in the beginning.
I loved Astrobot.
It's a good game.
Wanna,
it was cool.
I want to go to the Cooling Springs level and see what all this is, the fuss is about.
Did you get the VR headset cable or whatever it is?
I did get... Here's the thing. It's not for the headset. I don't know if you've heard
it's
the weird
for
thing.
The docking here. Station?
No, it's for the PS4 camera. Because the PS5 camera does not support PSVR.
Well, if that's not a sign of what the future is going to hold, I don't know what is.
It's
yeah,
weird,
that sounds like a
right?
That sounds like a deprecated hardware to me.
Doesn't it?
Got a little bit. Just
that
a little
or,
bit.
Like, the next iteration of the headset's going to work differently.
It'll probably be that.
Yeah.
That's... If not just be deprecated hardware, they're most likely working out an upgrade. But I feel like, I always think that's so funny. When companies don't say that, or if they have plans for it, and they'll just be thinking, you know, let's just not say anything on this one. We'll let them figure
just
it out.
Let them piece that together.
You know, when it happens, but for right now, let's just keep making some money, and
now
because then nobody would buy it then.
Now I gotta go out and get some pearl white paint to paint
yeah,
that black PlayStation
paint,
4 camera.
Yeah, I was gonna say, just paint it all. Paint it all over on some nice eggshell. But yeah, that's true. The consoles are coming.
So
anyone
there's a
knows even
spot.
More true? Halloween also passed, too. I hope it was spooky.
We had a good Halloween. I went to a party. They invited all of my friends. What an idea.
Yeah, Rich dressed up as Tommy Wiseau.
I talked to you on the phone.
This is true.
These are
this
all things
true.
That happened.
It was a good time. It was a weird time, actually. Halloween's weird this year. I didn't want to invest in any... That's why your costume was actually perfect. I didn't want to invest in anything, but you ended up...
All I really
slapping on a wig and sunglasses
yeah.
and it was done.
I bought
brilliant.
The wig and sunglasses and everything. I'm like, I just put on a blazer I had and a deep V and grabbed the
I
football.
I would kill for such creativity. But yeah, Halloween is come and gone. Another holiday robbed. But hopefully next year, pick it back up. Out of the, I've seen a lot of the unboxing videos for the next gen consoles though, because a lot of content creators and whatnot has gotten one.
Yeah.
And they look pretty cool.
They do.
They seem
pretty
neat.
Cool.
I saw that Bugsnax is going to be on PS Plus now.
Day one, baby.
They just said, you know what?
Here you go.
Yeah, whatever. There
you
go.
You bought a
$500 like that song?
Box.
There
Here's
you go.
Some stuff for you.
Yeah. So that with Destruction All-Stars eventually, hopefully they'll just make everything free on PS Plus, and that way I can reap the benefits.
Yeah, we'll be playing Spider-Man and Demon Souls and all that, so we're going to have some stuff.
The more I look at Spider-Man, the better it looks.
It really does. I kind of get like these warm memories of like, I really, really loved that first game.
Yeah.
Like, that game is fucking great. So like more of that and like them fleshing out that universe's version of Miles. I'm down for all of that stuff.
Yeah, and also, I'm trying to even just think of a bad Spider-Man game I've played. I've never had a bad time with the Spider-Man game.
No.
Genuinely.
Never.
And, like, even if that's questionable, you could show me Spider-Man games that have reviewed absolutely poorly, and I'd still say that I probably had a good time with it.
Yeah, and that they're, like, and this was, Insomniac Spider-Man was, like, the best of the best in terms, like, the web swinging felt fantastic, combat was good.
Yeah, and just think, the previous Spider-Man that had the best web-slinging was Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, it was probably my favorite Spider-Man game, personally, prior to this one. Hmm. I really liked the Ultimate Spider-Man game.
That's what I was going to say, too. Yeah, see, we're on the same wavelength of that. I was upset that they didn't put more of them in. I love those games.
Yeah, those were...
Or that game, I should say. It was very cool.
And that was a game that really loved to be, like, comic booky as hell. Like, I always think of that, like, intro mission where you're Venom, and you, like, it tells you, like, as you're learning your abilities, to pick up this motorcycle and throw it through a bar window, and then Wolverine, like, steps out, and he's like, what are you doing, bub?
It, like, fully embraced the Marvel Ultimate Universe. I actually thought that was just really cool, how they just threw everybody in there, and they were like, yep, this is the game.
Yeah, like, one of the collectible
events. And as Venom,
you
could just kill people.
Oh, yeah, just absorb them. And I remember, like, one of the collectible events in that, like, collectible side missions, so to speak, was doing races against the Human Torch.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Shit.
Because he had that camaraderie, and I would even say if somebody were to point out the worst Spider-Man, they'd even I even enjoyed the PlayStation one based on the animated show.
Oh,
I had a great time with that one too.
The NeverSoft ones.
Yeah,
those two games were great. I really
liked them. They were even good too. That I've never. I'm even thinking of
another series
and
of games
this is even reaching. This is reaching right now too. There was Spider-Man and the X-Men in arcades, Funhouse or something. That was for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
You could even say that game was ass, but I loved it as a kid. I loved it.
Still had a great time.
Like, I've just never had a bad game. Which I even had Spider-Man for the Game Boy, and I was like, what a ride. What a blast. And he didn't even swing the same way. It was a side-scroller. It sucked.
But it was
fun. But it was fun. Yeah, it was fun, and it had some weird music to it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just think... The last game I had played prior to Insomniacs was Web of Shadows.
Yeah.
And I remember that game had some insane amount of collectibles in it. I think it had like 2,000 collectibles or something like that. It was wild.
Something insane in its New York.
And I got it. And I think in like two nights or just a night, I was spending like 8 hours just mindlessly swinging around the city, just getting all these coins, because they would also refresh on the map and the cycle would continue. It would basically just loop around the same kind of path. So I was just looping for like 2,000 coins or something, and that took so long. And when I was finally done and I got the achievement on Xbox Live, I was thinking that was the most pointless thing I've ever done in my life, and it was still so much fun because I just love swinging. It was just
that's
simple.
The number one thing, like, when you get the swing like nailed, and I think Insomniac does that better than ever, like the feel of that momentum. And another great thing that got me even more excited for that game, you saw that trailer with the Into the Spider-Verse suit, right?
Yeah, that thing's so cool.
They lowered the frame rate on the character animations in that suit to make it, like, mirror the style of the film, and I think that's just amazing.
Yeah, honestly, the second I saw that costume, I was thinking, wow, when I get this game, that's gonna be the costume I wear, because I really like it.
Yeah, also, they have said previously there's a handful of new suits in the base game, because the base game of Spider-Man comes with that PS5 version. I'm hoping they put the Peter B. Parker suit as one of those in the base game. So you could just be Spidey in sweatpants.
I love that one. And I'm actually just going to replay Spider-Man one, but I'm not going to get the remastered one. I'm just going to get the normal one because the load times are still improved.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there was a... I read it offhand on the World Wide Web. I think there was a video that had leaked that showed Spider-Man's load times, like, on the systems, officially. Somebody had actually leaked it when they weren't supposed to.
I think you may be right about that. I mean, I know we saw them for the original version running on a PS5 a while back.
Yeah, that was the tech demo, though.
Yeah, but even those were fucking great.
Yeah, like, some guy was somebody leaked it, and I think it was taken off so fast, but people were talking about it. Apparently, it was so blazing fast. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous, which I thought was pretty cool. And from what I've seen of Miles Morales, I have not even seen a loading screen yet.
Yeah, no.
Like, everything's just transitioned.
I was also reading reports that apparently the Demon's Souls remaster will actually slightly slow down its loading time so you can read those screens that, like...
Yeah, and also I saw that in the, because they also released an expanded gameplay video of Demon's Souls, they did it also for the fog effects. Because otherwise, if you could just walk in, it kind of defeats the whole purpose of walking in the fog.
So the pop-in is purposely slowed down.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Even that's looking good. I'm so hyped for that. For those who didn't know, they released like an expanded gameplay kind of trailer or showcase of the Demon's Souls game, and it was just the Blue Point creative director just showing what they improved with it, and kind of got into the nitty gritty of the details of it. They didn't update anything. I shouldn't say update. They didn't add anything new to the game. So if you never played Demon's Souls, there's like 5 main areas, and then I think there's another 5 broken stones that you are kind of left wondering what the hell were those, because they're supposed to signify other zones, but they're broken, so you can't use them. So everybody back in the day used to think that was going to be DLC, and it never happened, so I guess it's just there. So I was even curious maybe it would open the door for DLC, but
I was thinking
chances
are
Blue Point would not do that,
because they're
usually
not,
just an update team.
It's not their IP, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, even if they did get the green light, they wouldn't design it, and it'd be from, so I was kind of bummed. But everything else was updated. The game looks so good. I like how there's 2 modes for it now. You can play at, I think cinematic mode it was called. It could be 30 frames and native 4K, or you can do performance mode, which was 60 frames at dynamic 4K.
Yeah, I love dynamic 4K.
And that's apparently the dynamic 4K is the one that they've actually used in all their gameplay trailers too. So that's pretty cool. And apparently cinematic just looks unreal, even though you can't get 60 frames. I'll obviously be playing on the 60 frames, because, wouldn't?
That makes sense. I wanted to ask you, genuinely curious, I saw a bunch of people are getting accessories early. Did you order any accessories?
Nah, I just got the console.
I ordered an extra controller, and it looks like it might be getting here tomorrow.
Neat. I saw a lot of videos cool and impressions of people who did the same. They got the camera too and all that.
I didn't order the camera once I learned that. Well, I canceled my order of the camera once I learned I was going to need to hook up my fucking PS4 camera anyway. And when I stream through a capture card, so.
Kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even recall. I think streaming via the PlayStation was pretty big in the beginning. And I didn't really see a lot of people doing it afterward, because they usually use capture cards. For those who were more comfortable to just stream.
I would also imagine, I'm interested to see it, I might play around with it on day one. I'd imagine they made that tool set more robust this time around.
I would hope so. I haven't seen anything about it either. It just looked like they threw you a camera and they were like, yep.
They haven't shown it off, but like just looking at stuff they did to the UI, and I'm sure they realize how big stuff like that is. I'd imagine they've, like, you know, they have data and they've made improvements to that tool set.
Oh, yeah. And, for the Series X, I think the only accessory I saw was the Seagate extended storage.
Yes. And the controllers we know are, like, pretty much the same. Like, the ones that are specifically Series X might be using slightly different materials or something. But the actual design of the controller has not changed.
I would just use the Elite. If you ever had an Elite, just plug that bad boy in.
That's how you do. You fire that brick up. You kill
it. I wouldn't even care. Throw those other controllers out. Get the Elite controllers.
Put them in the garbage.
Nice.
They're trash.
The DualSense, though, has been getting a lot of buzz, and I encourage people to just look at it so you can check out some of the features. It is pretty cool. I have to say, it's a pretty cool piece of tech. For those who forgot or were thinking about or had read about it, the DualSense also had the technology where, what was it? It was like kind of a predictive input or something like
that.
Yeah,
it's like grabbing data from you, and it's supposed to make your input time faster.
Just stealing some data from your fingers.
By sort of like predicting based on how you play games what button you're most likely to hit next. I don't know how that fares in practice. Like, it sounds weird on paper, but I don't know. That's neat, I guess.
They said, I saw the haptic feedback looks pretty cool.
The things people are talking about with that, again, it sounds like that Switch HD Rumble shit, but actually, like, done up in the way that seemed like the way people are describing it, like, vibrating on different parts of the controllers, and they talked about that one section of Astro's Playroom. I think it's called, like, Cooling Springs or something is the level. And there's, like, segments where you're, like, walking on sand and stuff. And you can, like, feel the texture of Astro's footfalls and stuff like that on different surfaces. Like, apparently it's really fucking impressive.
I just hope more developers are encouraged to, well, not encouraged, are motivated to utilize it without it being a big pain in the ass.
That's the thing. When you look at it, like, as a third-party developer who's got to make a version of this for the Xbox and PC also, what is your encouragement to use these tool sets? Like, is this just going to be a thing we see shown off in first-party Sony titles?
Yeah, which, I mean, honestly,
would still be a lot of games.
You could say the same thing was happening with the touch pane on the PS4. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even remember a game utilizing the actual touch controls outside of just pressing it to access like a map or something.
Black Flag.
Yeah, like I could be completely off base with that, but yeah, I played Spider-Man, I played Call of Duty, I played Persona, I played tons of titles, and it's not like any of those have been using those touch features for any of those, because they also are, you know, just focused on getting it out. So I don't know. Who's to say? But it'd be cool. I mean, it's supposed to be a new technology, so you know me.
I love new tech.
But like for certain games too, like say Demon Souls, I wouldn't want that haptic feedback shit. I just use the controller.
I want the controller to simulate me stepping on a body in Resident Evil.
Yeah, I want the controller to predict me getting up and walking away, and just playing the game for me.
Wow, what a future!
I think if it logs enough data, eventually the games will just play for us and we just watch.
That sounds
kind of like a Let's Play, but it's you.
It's a you play.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There. Okay. So I think that's what they were going for, but I think it got lost in translation. They should have said that, and I think it would have sold better.
This console plays the games for you, so you don't have to.
Yeah, and you watch it, and then when you're done, you feel like you did it, and that's it.
And that's
Please pay us your money. This console Please play is full price. But yeah, it's kind of wild that
$500, please.
It's kind of insane that we're already at next gen. Actually, it's not insane at all. The whole year is just insane.
We're dying.
It yeah, like it's pretty wild. And I think it's so funny. I gotta be honest here. I'm gonna get meta for a second, because you know, I know on the podcast talk about video games too, and the current state of the world is like literally on fire. And then I'll come here and talk about a video game. It's actually kind of soothing. It's nice.
It can be.
It can be. Just to talk about the next gen, it's quite exciting.
Some days are harder than others.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm in a mood.
I have to say, it's pretty exciting. Like, yeah. I'm going to be selling my PS4, and then I'll get the PS5 in like a week, and that's pretty cool. And then eventually others will follow suit. They'll get the one or the other. I mean, they just said, president of Sony said that the PS5 right now is selling like hotcakes. Easily outsold PS4.
Where's that saying come from, selling like hotcakes? Like, I get hotcakes are good, man. I get it, but like, does that mean you can only really sell it like effectively before like 11 a.m.?
Well, pancakes used to be a rarer commodity than
Where
they
are you
today.
Getting your information from?
That's what I'm saying. Listen, you didn't know this?
My grandpappy used to mine for pancakes.
Yeah, like, you want to know what it is?
Tell me.
It says, There is no clear origin. However, hotcakes are always a staple at any fair, and they sell out rather quickly.
Okay. Now,
and we're talking like from dating back to the 1600s or even around the 1400s with crepes.
It's one of those things. They just sell a lot. I'm always curious in the origin of like idioms or like turns of phrases. I love looking that shit up. Like, I love when you could like trace it back to. It's like we're not sure, but it was used in a newspaper in 1847 in that context. And that's the first known recorded usage of it.
Hey, man. Just gotta sell like hotcakes.
The world is weird. Well, these PS5s are selling like hotcakes.
Well, you know what, though? I take that crap with a grain of salt. Because you know what? PlayStation did something nasty. They created this weird scarcity for their console. And anytime it was ever cropped up again, people had to scramble to go buy because they didn't think they'd get a chance to get it anyway. I think if they actually had, which you could argue, is that smart business or that bad business? Because I would say that if PlayStations were readily available,
people would buy them.
I don't know if they would be bought in the same quantity at the same speeds.
Well, also, like, that time always inevitably passes within, like, a matter of months because it you get to a point where all the people that wanted them that desperately either have them or have given up or died.
Right. So, I don't know. I guess I was curious about that. I was thinking, like, of course they sold. Everybody was thinking that they would literally not be able to get one.
Like, it becomes the thing where you're like, well, listen, regardless of any of this, fucking by January, at the very latest, you're going to be able to walk into a fucking Best Buy and just pick one up off a shelf.
Yeah, you know, the COVID Halloween season's coming. Halloween season. COVID Christmas season's coming up, and everybody wants to buy the gifts.
I walked into a Target today. Oh. And in their game section on the shelf, there was a sign that said, due to scarcity, PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X consoles will only be available via online curbside pickup on launch day.
Very odd.
Which, like, that makes me curious, but, like, how hard would it be for you, like, to wake up as soon as the site goes live and be like, I want one of these, and with Target's curbside, like, you could schedule your pickup, so I could be like, I'm locking one of these in, I'm gonna pick it up at 6 on my way home from work.
Seems pretty damn convenient, honestly.
If it works out that way.
Yeah, if it actually works. I mean, it's better than getting a delay email saying, oh, your PlayStation's not gonna come, so whatever.
It always reminds me of the Wii launch where, I remember specifically because my mom worked at Toys R Us at the time, and they were in the store and they had a bunch of cardboard boxes behind the back because when people bought Wiis, they were putting them in unmarked cardboard boxes because people were getting attacked in the parking lot.
Wiis were scarce for a while though, weren't they?
For like months.
It was that damn Wii Sports. It was Wii Sports.
For almost an entire year, they were hard to get. I got one at launch because my mom worked at a Toys R Us.
That's insane. I forgot how scarce those were. I forgot. That's rough.
Yeah.
Well,
we would like to play.
At least with this gen, you can't get them until it's on launch day, but that's fine.
So let me ask you a question, Eric.
Yeah, what's up?
You been playing any video games?
No, I don't play games.
I played some games.
My past week of gameplay has literally been Dark Souls 2.
That's a good
and
game.
And Warzone.
Warzone's cool.
Because Warzone had their Halloween event.
Spook Zone.
Yeah, it's basically just a dark map. Like, it's during nighttime. And I have to say, I really dig that. I hope they... I know they won't, because this team at Infinity Ward hates giving everybody the cool stuff. They just love taking it away and then laughing
favorite.
At you. But
that's what they say. They're like, we want
and then making you download another 90 gig patch after they take it out.
They also
so
love that.
Yeah. But I have to say, the night maps that they got, it's pretty fun. It's just one. It's just the map at night. It's literally like the meme at night. And
at night,
all the lights are kind of on the buildings now, and you get all these thermal or night vision gun attachment scopes, and it's pretty damn fun. I have to say, there's a little more of a level of a little fear and anxiety because you're just thinking like, who is hiding in the shadows? But I really dig it, and the Halloween event is just now they have zombies where if you die in Warzone, you come back as a zombie. And if you kill enough people, you can come back. And I thought that was pretty fun, too. So that actually ends by the time that this even releases. So I'm telling you
wow.
how fun it is.
You and try it next year.
You know what? If you played it, you played it. If you knew, you knew. And yeah, I've had a blast with it. The one thing I did hate was that what they added to the crates where you get the guns, they added jump scares into this, and what happens is that when you open up a gun crate, a very loud noise and like flash animation of a ghost or like a really scary figure will show up on the screen and just scream at you. And they kept this in the game, even in normal Warzone mode.
That's a really weird
choice.
So if
you're just running
choice.
Around and opening things, they're just screaming at you, and I hate it. It doesn't even scare me anymore.
It's just obnoxious.
It's uncomfortable. Because I have the headphones on too, so it's just loud, and I just close my eyes and I just think, why is this in the game? I'm like, just get this out. But one of the main things that they added for this, I'm guessing because they had a partnership, was that they added a Leatherface skin from Texas Chainsaw Massacre
yeah.
and Jigsaw from Saw.
Sure.
And I think it's so fucking funny to see like a normal sized Jigsaw just like running around the map.
For the record, the puppet's name is Billy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Jigsaw's just the guy?
Jigsaw's, yeah, the killer. The puppet's
all right,
name
well,
is Billy.
It's little Billy puppets, and every time, like, on the night mode maps, I see somebody in the window, and I see the puppet, I go, it's Jigsaw! And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a little fun event, and I've been playing a lot of that, and Dark Souls 2, I've just been trucking. I'm trying to get all the achievements. I gotta say, you know, this is kind of my third attempt at playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten better, but I don't feel, I can already tell that, I've already told that you know, I'm about halfway through, I believe. I don't feel the same reverence to explore as I had with other games, and I don't feel the same motivational drive to explore the areas in their entirety. A lot of the times I feel like whenever I go into a new area or just a new place to go in and fight a boss, it just seems like it's really just a halfway point zone for it. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like I just need to get through it, fight the boss, and then just be done with the area and leave. Like, I don't really feel compulsion.
You feel too much of an obligation to be here.
Yeah, and I just there's no real
hook.
There's no real wow moments, I would say, so far. And maybe, and I know it's just not my nostalgia getting the best of me here, because I can go back and play Dark Souls right now and I can still have a great time, but this one just treats the overall atmosphere, it's a little bit different, in which it looks like they just took a bunch of assets from the Dark Souls house and just threw them into this game, and they just tried to piece things together. And there's still cool zones, there's still cool enemies, but the bosses kind of just feel a little flat. Like, Dark Souls always has a penchant for having a really cool boss. Like, no matter what kind of boss I see, it's usually pretty badass. Mm-hmm. Or just really steers hard into the right of that dark fantasy kind of setting. In this one, I went into this whole poison area. There's just poison clouds everywhere, which is obnoxious as fuck anyway. I hate when games do this. It's just poison all over the place. Demon's Souls even has this too, and the Valley of Defilement. Everybody will know what that is if you haven't seen it. It's literally the same garbage. And you just trek your way through all this crap, and by the time I got to the end, I was thinking, boy, what kind of boss are we going to be seeing today? And It's literally just this serpent Medusa kind of thing holding the Medusa head and having a spear.
Okay.
And normally, that sounds kind of cool, but for a Dark Souls game, it kind of just seemed a little bleh.
Seems like they're phoning it in.
Yeah, you know, like, it didn't really, and maybe I'm just or how about this? I went into another zone, worked my way to the back, and the boss was, half a woman on a scorpion's body.
Which half?
And Dark Souls already did that, though, with the spider. So,
but this is a different arachnid.
Yeah, so there really wasn't, you know what I mean? Wasn't the wow factor. I was just thinking,
uninspired enemy design.
Yeah, I mean, they even had the Belfry Gargoyles back in this game too, which I know, I even think 3 did this too, so I guess they're just a recurring thing. I don't really care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But after you play Dark Souls 1, or even Demon's Souls, you already got this good idea of, like, what the grotesque could look like, or at least what the bosses could hold in store for you. Even, this is why Bloodborne, when they leaned into Lovecraftian horror, They leaned hard. Everything was a grotesque, disfigured monster.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, the cleric beast and stuff are just memorable designs.
Yeah, there are several different cleric beasts, but They all have distinct designs, as you were saying. You can remember them, and you're thinking, wow, that was pretty freaky. In this one, I mean, there's bosses called the Skeleton Lords, and it's exactly as you think. They're just three different skeleton dudes, and then a horde of skeletons come to fight. I was just like, okay. I walked away, and I went, okay, that was the bony boys. Like, all right. And there was another boss that were just three plates of armor, suits of armor that were attacking you, and they all had different weapons. I was like, okay, that's fine.
But never forget that bones are their money, Eric. To them, bones are the same as dollars.
That, you know what, and that's fine. I'm not going to sit there and presume to, you know, talk ill, but I expected a little more. In Dark Souls 1, you had Artorias, you had,
Look out, Eric, it's a bone daddy.
Yeah, you just had bone daddies in this game. In the first game, you had Artorias, you had his dog, you had the king, you had, Ornstein the Smell. This one, you got bone daddies. And, Scorponox. And, I mean, those are okay, it's just
Scorpy Karen.
I just feel like it's just another boss. It's a whole lot of nothing to say something.
It sounds more generic.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of nothing to say something. And the game itself is pretty solid.
Mechanically, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's the same game. You know, it's just the atmosphere. I'm just like, I'm in this area and I really don't even give a... The best area, I will say, the best looking area is the starter zone. It's the world hub. And that's saying something.
So they kind of front loads the area. That's kind of a shame.
Yeah, they show you this beautiful open ended area of Majula, and you're thinking, "Damn, this is like easily the best looking crap." And I can't wait to see the rest of this world.
And then it sucks.
Yeah, it's just a lot of twists and turns and very tight hallways, which Dark Souls does pride itself on, you know, it gives you that feeling of dread for a moment and also close quarters, so you're thinking, ah, like, if a bony boy comes out here, I'm truly going to be in it for the money, but it just looks more like a constraint more than anything when they were building it. They were just like, how can we just make a level look a little difficult without having to do much with it?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
I bet there was some pressure for them to turn out a sequel pretty quickly, and
I'm sure, especially for the different, it wasn't even the main team, as we all know. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure that the pressure was there to just come out with something cool, you know, build it, and then ship it. But, fuck, man. It's like, this is why I didn't want to beat it the first time. I was just like, where is it all going to go?
And yet, here
at least
are.
In even Demon Souls, the first progenitor to all of it, Demon Souls has the story. And that's really what kind of ties it all together. And that's why I'm really excited to play through Demon Souls again, because sure, some of the levels do suck, but the story has an explanation for why things are the way they are. Yeah, why they suck.
A narrative,
like the Valley of Defilement, with the one, it's literally just Bogtown from Dark Souls. It sucks, but that's that. At least that's the point. It's supposed to suck. It's supposed, supposed to be the worst area in the game because of story. So it's like, okay, but in this game, I don't even know what's supposed to suck and what's supposed to be good. I'm just hanging.
The whole thing's supposed to suck.
But anyways, 10 out of 10, favorite game of the year.
Wow, that's a
there you go.
Sell on a really old game from Eric Ortiz.
But what about you? I want to hear about, because I watched this yesterday, I want to hear more about your tales of it. Dark Pictures Anthology, Little Hope.
Okay, so our friend Vinny and I played through all of the Dark Pictures Anthology, Little Hope yesterday. It's the most recent game from Supermassive, the people who made Until Dawn. And The Man of Medan, the Man of Medan being the first of the Dark Pictures anthology, which are all supposed to be more like bite-sized, like Tales from the Crypt stories, played in that same sort of adventure game style of Until Dawn, which was a much longer experience.
Did the other Dark Picture anthology games, or at least the mini ones, did they look graphically as impressive as what I saw here?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Actual facial capture stuff for these games, because, you know, they get actors to cast for every character and stuff. The main playthrough of the game is we played in the online play together mode, which is we both take control of a different character, and as the story progresses, we're swapped between different characters. And really your main goal is to make it to the end with all of those characters surviving if possible. The story of this one kind of centered around a group of people who survive a bus crash in the sleepy Massachusetts hamlet of Little Hope, and are immediately being haunted by this fog and these visions of this little girl and a witch trial. And I thought the tension was good. I thought some of the way a lot of stuff played out was fun, and fun in the way I do like those narrative games that build up strongly. I don't know how I feel about the ending we got, and I obviously don't want to spoil that, but we only lost one of the five characters.
That's impressive.
And based off one of the choices Vinny made, I feel like we lost out on a shot to get some sort of closure on the, like, flashbacks to the 1600s we were getting.
Okay.
And I don't know how much that would have changed the ending, because the ending was very much like what a twist. I'm like, yeah, it's interesting, but then I feel like you didn't do anything with it, and I'm left wondering what happened with all the 1600s witch trials shit.
Well, from what Vinny was telling me, it doesn't even seem like he just wanted one character to die.
Yeah, that's
Was it Angela?
Yeah, he was not.
Did she die?
No, I saved her.
Wow, he probably was upset.
He was upset. We lost Daniel.
I thought that was pretty. I had never seen a game actually that was like Until Dawn just online.
Well, yeah, that
in a way where you take separate parties.
Man of Medan added that, and this continues that whole idea, where it still has that co-op mode Until Dawn had, the local co-op, where it just tells you, like, all right, hand the controller to player two now.
Yeah, but this is, like, two separate.
Yeah, we're playing concurrently, and, like, that's what I liked about this. When the team splits up, because it's a fucking horror movie, so of course that's going to happen, we're both playing simultaneously and seeing different perspectives until we link up again. And, I think that was, like, the more interesting thing. Because we got to have that conversation of, like, okay, so what happened, like, while you were at the... Because, like, it would be like, all right, I'm going to go down this bridge and you're going to go check out the playground over there. And then I'd be like, okay, so what happened to you? Like, what did you see?
Yeah, mechanically, I just thought that was really cool. I don't recall a game that did that online.
If you're ever interested, I should tell you, I own the PC version of Man of Medan, and I have with that what's called the Friend Pass version, which means someone else can play with me and they don't have to own the game.
Interesting. Interesting. I was watching you both on stream though yesterday, so when Vinny was playing with one group, I was even talking to him. I said, oh, I thought you guys were playing this together. He goes, oh, he is. He's with the other group. And I went, what? And then I went over to you, and you just had the completely different cast of characters. I said, man, that's cool. And then they met up, and I was thinking, man, that's cool. It was just, I had never seen a game do that. And I was thinking, wow, that's neat.
It's a cool idea, and it definitely works well.
Yeah, I would hope future games do that. Or if we had another Until Dawn just kind of with that implemented where you could just play online. I think that's just a really cool kind of connection.
In the Dark Pictures Anthology have both used it. And
more.
Yeah, well, the other thing I like is, and Man of Medan did this as well, when you beat the game after the credits, it always shows you the trailer for the next game.
Ooh, so there's a next one planned?
There's one coming out in 2021 called House of Ashes.
And I'm guessing due to the naming conventions of Anthology, they're all different.
Yeah, they all follow different stories. This one appears to take place with some sort of like military or merc group being stranded in the Saudi desert and uncovering some kind of tomb.
Ancient.
Because always, and I didn't realize it at the time, and Man of Medan did this as well, I now realize, there's a mechanic where you find these pictures in these games, and it'll show you a premonition of a possible future. Usually it's a vision of one person in your party dying, like a way they could potentially die, so to kind of keep you mindful of it. Like, I saw a vision of Angela getting grabbed by something when she was trying to climb a cliff. So when I saw we had to climb up a cliff, I was like, oh, geez, Angela, be careful, girl. But then I saw a vision when I looked at a picture in one of the houses towards the end of this woman I had never seen before. Being lowered by a rope off a helicopter, and the rope snaps, and she got killed. And then I realized while watching the House of Ashes trailer, it was one of the characters from that.
Interesting. Interesting, interesting. That seems pretty cool. I'm glad that this genre is still alive and kicking.
Yeah, so that's...
a little spooky genre.
Out a few days ago. It's on Steam, PlayStation. It's $30.
Not bad.
Pretty fun little thing.
I like that. And what else have you been playing here? Hold on. I see that. Oh, yeah. Legion.
I'm playing.
I saw some videos and clips of this. How is it?
I'm going to give you my preface on Watch Dogs series as a whole before we start. I think Watch Dogs 1 is a bad game, and I am correct in that assertion.
You are.
Watch Dogs 2, I thought, was a decent game, but I never finished it. It didn't really grip me too much, but it was way more fun mechanically. Watch Dogs Legion, I have put a few hours in. The story is fine. The story doesn't really do much for me, but I feel like this sandbox is really fucking good. Like, this is one of the most fun sandboxes I've been in an open world game in a while.
Really?
Yeah. Just the terms, like, what you can do with your phone, and that whole, again, Watch Dogs Legion system, which I think is implemented interestingly enough. This game has no main character. The whole grip of it is you pick from, like, 10 characters to start the game with. And then you can recruit any NPC in the city to your cause, to join your hacker group DedSec, and you can play as anyone. And based off, like, their information, they have different skill sets and unique abilities. Like, one of my favorite characters to play as is this guy Matthew, who's just a construction worker. And because he's a construction worker, he comes with a certain skill set, meaning he can dress like a construction worker and move through construction sites inconspicuously. Instead of normal melee attacks, he has a pipe wrench. He has a unique firearm, which is a high-powered nail gun. And he can summon a construction drone at will, which is something that's harder for the other characters to get a hold of. And the construction drones are great because they are the largest drones in the game. Mm-hmm. Large enough that you can actually climb on top of them before you hijack them and fly yourself
that's
around
the
city.
That's the picture I saw. I thought that was so funny because... with that picture, people were like, I wonder why nobody's just questioning that I'm just on this gigantic drone above the city.
Yeah.
It is. It's just so blatantly obvious just in the sky.
All the goddamn time.
Like, I can't imagine, like, somebody just hanging over the city of New York just on a drone, and everyone's like, yep, that's the world.
But, like, all the characters are fun in that regard, and I haven't done a crazy amount of story missions. I've been just doing a lot of recruitment missions for, like, fun characters I find. Like, I recruited a murder grandma, like, from that initial trailer. I found an old lady who, when I looked up information on her, she was a retired hitman. So I recruited her, and she has, like, excellent close combat abilities and her default weapons, whereas everybody else kind of starts with these non-lethal shock weapons that DedSec makes. She starts with a Desert Eagle and, like, an AR-15. And then there's so many unique passive mechanics. There is a permadeath mode, which is interesting, too, you can turn on. So if a character gets killed on a mission... Like, that agent's retired. They're dead. You have to play as somebody else.
Right.
I had a character actually die, but they had a perk called Spontaneous Death. Which was like, I'm like, that's a little weird. But typically, there's two ways an agent can get taken out in the normal mode. They can either be arrested, or they can be critically injured. And they're basically put on a cooldown until you can use them again.
Mm-hmm.
But then, for example, on my team, I have a paramedic. And sometimes... people who are injured can be discharged faster or immediately if you have a paramedic.
Right.
And for people who get arrested, I have a lawyer on my team, so sometimes they can get bailed out immediately if you have
get
a lawyer.
Get out of here. That's so funny.
Like,
you just literally pick cases and just rig the system?
Yeah, it's pretty great. Like, this, I also have a character who has a passive ability called Chronic Gambler, where sometimes I lose or gain money randomly because he's gambling it.
I only saw one example of this. Somebody was like, it was like one of those statue makeup people on the side,
yes.
Like a statue performer. And you can play as them and pretend to be a
yeah,
statue
I have,
and like
I have
avoid
one of those
getting
as well.
Captured. Like, that's so funny. There's just so many different types of people.
Yeah, that's what's like the most fun is like finding these people with these weird things. Like, I have a guy who's a professional driver. And so, one, he has a personal car he can use his phone to call at any time. And also, he loses pursuers faster if he's in a vehicle.
I like how this is almost, it's just a game that you're almost making your own A-team.
Yeah,
just anybody 100%. Who has a specific, or like your own Ocean's 11, where you're just making whoever has a specific set of skills, just put them as like the driver, or the distraction, or the hacker. And you just form the team. That's just so funny.
And some of the mission design is like centered, also you're building up one tech tree, you don't have to build up characters individually.
Oh, thank God.
The tech tree,
I was going to say, that would probably be messy.
Just sort of unlocks the weapons you can equip to them, and the gadgets and stuff. But then, like I said, some characters, like my secret agent lady, she has weapons that she can equip that other people can't pick, because they're specific to her.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Watch Dogs kind of took the, and I think we talked about this once too, Watch Dogs kind of took the evolution where it steered into the absurdity just a little bit, as Saints Row did.
Yeah.
Where
not
I feel
quite
like
to
they
that
found...
level, but.
No, not of course, not to that, because then you'd be playing Power.
Though
the
I'd be just... cool with that.
Yeah, you just play Power while you're skydiving out of the air, which was still one of the best openings to a game I've played. I always find it so funny that whenever I give studios credit for this, because Watch Dogs, as you even just said, which is right, Watch Dogs 1 sucked because it was over-promising something it blatantly could not deliver on, which was you could hack anything. And
this hyper-serious tone that sucked. Like,
yeah, that just, I distinctly even remember... Yeah, and I am tooting my own horn here, because I remember watching it at E3, and I said, there is no way in hell you could do all that. It has to be scripted. Because just the undertaking that would involve to make everything hackable is insane. And it would have been game of the year, if that was true.
Yeah.
It wasn't. The story also was crap. And
Aiden
Watch Dogs 2 comes out, never played it, you told me it was good. You actually told me that they improved a lot of it, the story actually improved.
They changed the tone a lot in a way that works, and they made the stuff you could do with the environment a lot more fun.
Well, unfortunately, they lost me. But this one, Watch Dogs Legion, it looks like they just steered into the skid, said, hey guys, fuck it.
I think this
you
is
You can hack
one.
Some things, you can do some cool abilities, there you go. And they even put that aesthetic and style of that kind of cyberpunky dystopian kind of look where people are dressed
future.
Up in pig heads and
Oh yeah, the mass stuff. Like I,
you know, like that aesthetic. I don't even know what to call it. It's just,
well, that's you can unlock a lot of different masks to equip to the characters individually. Because like when you pull a gun, they put on their mask by default.
Yeah, well, of course. They don't want to be seen.
Well, no, they even, like, your AI Bagley makes a joke about it in the beginning where he's like, we use advanced technology to hide our faces when infiltrating enemy bases. It's called a mask.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, what a guy.
But
the mask I currently have is insane looking. It's literally just a big skeleton head with a digital crown spinning around the top that's being
projected. Like, that's what I mean. It's that style. It's like that dystopian Blade Runner-y crap that people... And that's fine. I dig that. I don't even care.
And the game is...
But I always feel like games, whenever they're doing that, they just, you know, they go full bore. And they're just thinking, you know what? Give them the pig mask, whatever.
And
throw them out
the game's set in London in the near future, which is to say, like... There's a lot more drones flying around and stuff because it's supposed to be like, this is the norm now. And there's some neat stuff. Like, there's actually, like, a few self-driving cars. Like, there's cab companies with self-driving cabs where when you look at them, they're just four seats, like, two on each side facing each other because there's no driver. And the thing I do like is if you steal one of those on, like, a normal car, you see your character get in, sit down, and they're on their phone because they're just controlling it with their phone. Hacker man.
That's pretty cool. I have to say, yeah, exactly, literally, Hacker Man. I'm so curious to see how this game or this franchise evolves, because it looks like for right now, because even Watch Dogs 2, people had bad taste in their mouth. I don't think it sold too well.
No, but the people who talked about it, like, generally had the consensus I did of, like, oh, they seem to be course-correcting this. Like, this is fun. Like, it's not anything phenomenal, but, like, the sandbox is fun now, and the characters don't suck complete ass.
Yeah, which helps. That should just be on the tagline. That should be the subtitle for the whole game.
For the record,
characters do not suck.
Despite Aiden Pierce sucking ass, they seem to still love him because they put him in a mission in Watch Dogs 2, and apparently at one point he's going to be in an update in Legion where he's recruitable.
Fine. I mean, you got to keep your main guy, the titular character.
Everybody always makes fun of that joke where I think it was in the Watch Dogs 2 promotion where they were like, unlock Aiden Pierce's iconic hat.
His iconic baseball cap. But I gotta say, even Legion, I was even thinking of getting it eventually because it just looked fun. It looked like they just did something a little bit different, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it has
I like the idea of being able to recruit anybody.
For next gen, so I picked up the PS4 version.
Oh,
and that's pretty cool. I've been enjoying it so far. Like, it is really about the sandbox to me, and like I've actually been kind of chipping away slowly at the story stuff while I keep going, what kind of fun people can I, because every character has like a recruitment mission. They're like, yeah, I'll join you, but I need you to do this thing for me first.
Yeah,
and also I'm kind of curious how long it's going to take before I start seeing a lot of the same mission design around that stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to see very similar for everybody in the recruits. I'm sure the DLC will even just borrow from what's already out
there. Yeah, which hasn't happened just yet. I've seen a lot of pretty unique stuff, like the same kind of missions, but I've been going to places and stuff that are different enough, so...
I'll join you if you could solve my riddles 3.
I'm like, come on, man. Also, it's great because it takes place in London, so a lot of the more expensive clothing items are, like, ridiculous bowler hats, and it is my goal to just eventually look like the Riddler.
Wow. And then you can just walk around town, solving riddles, or making riddles.
Yeah, whatever he
can
does.
Can you just be an absolute bastard and just... Grand Theft Auto that place up and just make mayhem?
Oh yeah, you could.
And just get away with it?
Yeah, and there's different...
Like, is there like a star system of escalation
yep.
for law enforcement?
Yep. And it starts... That's all I want. It starts with the police coming, and then eventually the private security force Albion, who's the main antagonist of the game, shows up with their tanks and shit.
See, then that's fun. That's some fun stuff. I if the game doesn't have a good sandbox to play in with a system like that, enough for me.
I did get an upgrade recently on my tech tree called Incredibly Persuasive, which means now I can actually recruit certain Albion employees.
Wow.
Which
from the inside.
Yeah, they come with their own unique skill set because they have Albion security uniforms.
Neat. I kind of dig it.
It's fun.
I'm glad it's actually a good game. That's it. I'm genuinely glad because I hate to see interesting ideas die. Watch Dogs is always one of those interesting things that sounded better on paper, but it sounds like now they just... said, let's make a fun game.
And
they did.
They're pulling that much off, I can say.
Thank God.
Also, it forced me to weirdly realize there's not a lot of games that have London as an open world setting that are in the modern day and not in some kind of weird, like, past or, like, so far future that cars aren't a thing type situation. You know what I mean?
That's an interesting point to bring up.
So
yeah, it's I agree with
fun to like fuck about in Westminster.
Should have just went back to San Andreas.
Can't get used to driving on the correct side of the road.
Get used to the vernacular.
It's a lot for me. I mean, I've been getting a lot of in it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. These people are cockney as fuck. They're like, well, that's right. Fucked, isn't it? And I'm like, yes, it is.
Yes, it is. You are correct.
Oh,
I like that.
That reminds me, I got a really great character today that I liked who is I met him at a pub.
Oh.
And he was just hanging out, and he has an ability called Boozy Brawler, which he takes less damage when he's drunk.
I love the archetype of just a booze brawler.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite, just a drunkard.
It's got some fun stuff. And when I met him, he was all decked out in Manchester United gear.
I thought you were just going to say decked out in like a big hairy chest and just going for it. Just screaming. I really hope that I really hope games introduce some additional open worlds and cities other than, say, what you find in Assassin's Creed, even from the history's past.
Yeah.
I dig it. I dig when games do that.
Like, the last time I remembered going to London was, like, last time I was in virtual London, it was the Victorian era, and I was playing Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why even when you said it, I was just thinking, yeah, when was the last time I even played in London? I mean, for fuck's sake, I played in Arkham City's a fictional city, and I've been there more than real places around the world.
I know a lot about the layout of Gotham.
Yeah, I know more about Arkham City's architecture and infrastructure than I do about, I don't know, Philadelphia or even just anywhere else on planet.
Their biggest export is criminal organizations.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. Actually, ooh, wait, let's go into the drop.
It's very long this week.
Oh, God. Hold on. We can't read all of this.
No, we're not going to.
Just pick the big ones.
I'm just going to look in and see.
Pick the big ones. For anybody who's not even like, this is a big list.
Okay, so here's the first big one. Paw Patrol Mighty Pups Save Adventure.
I knew you were going to open with that too. It's just like Paw Patrol. Yeah, you know what? Say, yeah, it's coming out. Yeah,
Paw Patrol Mighty Pups Save Adventure Bay comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on November 6th. As far as like stuff probably worth noting. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered, coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One on the 6th. Tropico 6 coming to Switch on the 6th. Assassin's Creed Valhalla drops on all of the things on November 10th, except for the Switch.
Looking forward to that one.
Is XSX, is that the fucking Google thing? Is that what I'm thinking of?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry, that's the Xbox Series X. I was trying to figure out what the XSX was.
Oh, I was like, what are you saying right
now? No, I'm not used to the shorthand for Xbox
Series X. Yeah, the Xbox Series X.
We gotta talk.
I mean, I guess this is exactly... Look, even you're having problems with this.
Isn't it?
This is the problem.
It's bad. I couldn't figure out what it was. Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition hits the Xbox Series X on launch day, November 10th. Destiny 2 Beyond Light is also out on November 10th. That's launch day for the Xbox Series X, we should say. Worth noting. That's very soon. The reason this list is so long is a lot of them are existing games announcing that they're coming.
Yeah, they're just launching and they're carrying over.
So,
I feel that. You know, the Xbox Series X is dropping.
Oh, yeah, right. Yakuza Like a Dragon comes to PC, Xbox Series X, PS4, and Xbox One on November 10th.
I'm so hyped for that game.
I am 100. I just saw your tweet you sent me, and I have sent that gentleman a DM about getting the code.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask him for two, because I'm going to get you one if I can.
Oh, thank you.
Valhalla, Assassin's Creed hits the PS5 on November 12th. This is PlayStation 5's launch day, so along with that, you'll get things like Astro's Playroom, Bugsnacks, which is also coming to PC and PS4, Demon Souls, Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition for the PS5, Godfall also out. That game I'm not going to buy.
I'm so curious to see how that does.
I am not going to pick it up, but I'll talk to people about
it. I thought you were just like, I do not care.
Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales comes to the PS5 and PS4 on November 12th. There's also a No Man's Sky Next Generation update coming out on November 12th for the PlayStation 5. Sackboy A Big Adventure comes to PS5 and PS4 on November 12th. Watch Dogs Legion comes to PS5 November 12th. And I think does it continue? No, that's it, I guess. That's pretty much it.
All right. That's a good one. just to observe, I was surprised they're still making Dirt games.
They sure are making Dirt games.
I always underestimate the market for driving games.
People like driving dirt games.
Well, because to me, Gran Turismo is like the titular Sony driving
game.
That's like the PlayStation driving game.
Ridge Racer for life.
And then you had Forza, which was the Xbox driving game. So, Ridge Racer. I remember the Ridge Racer that they released for the PSP.
That'll always be...
You get to play as Pac-Man's Rocket.
Yeah, PlayStation Rocket driving game for me. That's Ridge Racer, baby.
Yeah, that's a good game. But yeah, I always underestimate them making those games. But it's a pretty sizable list. I have to say, too, I think they expanded... I would encourage everybody, if you are getting a next-gen console for right now, especially PlayStation, you should look at the PS5 Plus collection. I think they updated it with third-party titles, even, instead of just first-party. So now you get another kind of a little bit of variety of games as well, other than the ones that they had advertised. That's pretty cool. I can't wait for Family Feud.
I'm also looking forward to that.
On the Stadia. Can't wait to play that.
Hashtag ad, no.
So fun.
Stadia, hilarious.
I'm actually really glad that Gears Tactics is finally coming to the Xbox Series X.
I'm excited for you to play that because
I want more visibility on that one.
That's a great game.
Other than that, yeah, this is actually a pretty crazy list. What is like, I'm curious about Godfall, but I'm a little disappointed with Godfall, not because I know my worth of shit. I'm sure a developer who has worked his fucking ass off is probably just like, shut up. They when they first premiered the game, I remember when I saw it, I was thinking, man, that looks pretty cool. Because they were using the kind of combat system from the Souls games and, you know, that slowish kind of heavy combat. And that looked pretty cool. And they were all donning those armor pieces and it looked like they had some powers mixed in. So that actually looked pretty dope. I was a fan of that. I think that was the first next-gen title that was ever announced in general.
And it was announced before the console was announced.
Yeah. And they were just like, hey, check this out. Godfall, you guys want a taste? And they did it. Then the second trailer came out, and that's when I knew it was not going to be that great. This is why I'm curious. I don't want to say that, because I don't know. But that's when I knew that the game probably was not going to be as good as I was thinking, because they added some, like, rock heavy metal track to it, and they were showcasing gameplay with The Rock, and they were just doing it with little cuts and clips.
They just played Linkin Park songs over it.
Any game I had seen with that kind of crap on it, it was just heavily marketed. Yeah. I was thinking they're cutting it on purpose. They don't have a lot of it. This is the way it's going to be. It's not going to be that great. Every continuous commercial or ad I've seen for it still to this day is not giving me like any sign of hype whatsoever. I see the same things each and every time they show, and I'm just like...
Oh, every time I see the trailer for it, I go, I played Too Human. You won't get me twice.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm... If anything, I'm genuinely curious. I'm genuinely curious to see... how it does, because I want to like games like those. It just looks like it's destined to not be good. Quote, it's checking off all my personal boxes where I'm thinking, oh no, this is not gonna do it.
To quote Fox Mulder, I want to believe.
I want to believe, but history has a funny way of repeating itself sometimes. So I'm rooting for it, but I'm not holding my breath. As for a lot of other games, I'm actually gonna sell a lot of my physical games.
I think that's probably not a bad idea.
Like, you don't even if I get, like, say, a couple of dollars for them at this point, I mean, okay. I mean, Bloodborne, you're just getting on the collection. That's great. It's true. I think it's fantastic.
That's true.
And if you haven't played that, anybody?
You're a moron.
Yeah, I mean, unless you just don't like those games,
and also,
which is fine.
Fuck you.
Great game. Yeah, that too. Game's great. But, yeah, go fuck yourself. And also, Just Dance, that's a big title.
Yeah.
This is the first Just Dance that's not going to be on the Wii.
Which is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
And Pikmin 3 released last week. I'm hoping that game sells well.
I got bad
news.
Pikmin 3.
Tell me.
There's some numbers in. And these numbers are coming in from the UK, I think. But according to their reports, it has sold less in this amount of time than it had on the Wii U.
You damn UKers. I knew it. When you were supposed to come through, you fucking failed. Now it's going to come to America and it's going to fail again. I hate everything. I kind of had a feeling this would happen.
I think timing is bad. I think people are not buying, are like, next gen is about to click, and that's where people's money is going.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. Let's be real. If it was a Mario title, it'd sell. It doesn't matter.
You're correct.
It has to do entirely because it's Pikmin. And, damn, why couldn't it be Pikmin at the start of, well, I don't wish Corona happened.
Can you imagine that?
Why couldn't it be Pikmin at the start of the quarantine instead of Animal Crossing? Animal Crossing would have been fine. It should have been Pikmin. Everybody would have united under one rocket and flag. It would have been fine.
We would have all been Olimar that day.
God, what a... I always just think of the parallel universe theory. What game released instead of Animal Crossing, and what swept the nation?
The president would have stepped up to his podium and said, "We are all Olimar today.
We are all Olimar today. Our thoughts and prayers are with him, and he is dead." I'm kind of bummed because I had a feeling that Pikmin would not sell well, but I'm hoping that long-term it at least sells enough to justify another Pikmin.
Totally.
Because Pikmin 3 looks beautiful, and it was one of the better-looking games on the Wii U. I remember when I played it, and I was blown away because it just looked nice. The water, the graphics, just all of it looked beautiful, and I was thinking, wow, if they even justify making a Pikmin 4, I'd be shocked.
Pikmin
and here we are.
Are cool.
Pikmin are cool. It is the most difficult, non-difficult game I've ever played in my life.
Managing
just
because
it's so fucking... It's just all over the place. Even though it's a pretty streamlined little puzzle game, I've never felt compelled to actually figure out the damn game. I'm too dumb. Can't do it.
Been there, buddy.
And I don't like those monsters. They freak me out. Those bug things.
Oh, the big...
With the dump truck booties. I don't like those.
Yeah, they got,
like
they got absolute dump truck asses.
I baited you with that one. I can't get down with those things. They freak me out. And I remember as a kid, I used to get so sad when my Pikmin. I remember when I approached those things in the beginning, and I didn't listen to whatever warning prompt was there.
And I was
just
like,
came
yeah,
up and
fuck
just started
you.
Eating my Pikmin. And I was thinking, what are you
and
doing?
And you watched the little ghost fly up.
Yeah, and you see their souls, and I was just thinking, what are you doing? I was like, animal.
You gotta fling them on its dump truck booty, and then they smack it to death.
Yeah, all they did was headbutt these things with their little leaf heads. I was always thinking, I'm like, what is that doing to anybody? And Olimar just sent them to die.
He blew his whistle, and he flung them.
It was a rough life. Pikmin taught me about life and loss.
Pikmin are cool.
But Pikmin...
That's our official stance here.
Pikmin's good. So we're going to have one more cast before next gen.
Yeah.
Is that really true? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
12th, it'll be a, not this coming Thursday, the following.
I gotta say, I'm looking forward to it.
Vape Nation.
Actually, you know what, it's gonna be an awkward process. This whole year was awkward. I don't even feel like, the PS5's gonna arrive and I'm just gonna look at it and be like, is this even real? It's gonna look like it's just some fake upgrade thing.
I am more excited that like two games I really want to play are coming out on that day.
Yeah, I really just want Demon's Souls. That's it. If they just released it for PS4 and they just said, here you go, there, I would have been okay.
That'd be fine, yeah.
So, well.
So I guess there's that.
There's that. Oh, forgot to mention, Todd Howard was interviewed about Bethesda, because everybody still has that burning question, will the Bethesda game come on the PlayStation now? The answer is no. But they asked him again just for the funnies, and the contract's not officially signed yet, so he can't say anything, but he said the plan is to have an all-access approach, which... I'm sure some of you at home may be thinking, finally, there's hope. And I'm here to tell you, no, there's not. It's going to be on xCloud,
well,
Xbox, and the other things.
Also worth noting, Phil Spencer was interviewed in the same right and sort of asked about that, which he said, we're going to honor contracts and everything that are already in place. But basically, he was basically asked, you know, financially, do you guys have to release it on other platforms for this deal to make sense for Microsoft? And he was like, no, we don't have to do that. Like, he's basically saying, like, in their head, it is not, like, there's no financial contingency. Like, there's no reason they have to release these games on other consoles.
Yeah, and that's just in good faith. I feel like Phil Spencer's getting interviewed, like, every other day. They're just, like, going to the exclusive Phil Spencer interview. I'm like, this man is getting interviewed, like, every day. Just in the pleasures of his home, just getting his shelves ripped apart and scrutinized.
Someone who knows how to control the media. Whenever somebody interviews you, tell them it's an exclusive.
All exclusive. All access, all exclusive. You know what, though? As I've always said, as a consumer, I like exclusivity. I don't care. Let it happen.
Sure.
I know it's terrible. and I know people want to throw people like me from the rafters, I think competition's good.
Competition is good.
Because if you just have multiplats all over the place, for example, for a key example, actually, we're talking about the functionalities of the PlayStation 5, right? Developers, if they didn't have exclusivity to consoles, you wouldn't get some of the features or even some of the cool things that you see, because who is going to use the controller? Who the fuck's going to do that? You were even saying it earlier. It's like, it's third party. What are you going to do with it?
Just put it down and relax.
Yeah, you just go, look, when you press X, you jump. Isn't that next gen? They're like, we already could do that. And they're, what about haptic feedback? That's, and they go, haptic what?
That's new to this gen. Jumping? Go, that's new.
Haptic who?
We just figured that out.
Like, that's not true. Oh, did we talk about Cyberpunk getting delayed?
Oh, we didn't. Isn't that funny?
From, like, last week?
Yeah.
I think that's old news.
It might be. Cyberpunk got delayed again, even though they said they wouldn't.
Yeah, pack it up. that's on. What you just said was so succinct. You're like, even though they said they wouldn't, it just happened again. they did it again. I have to, I gotta say, also, outside looking in, their management practices seem so fucked up.
I feel like they've gotta have the worst PR people in the fucking world, because the people working on the
game... I mean,
it's
not their fault. It's not PR's fault.
Well, their messaging is just, like, not... The communication, somebody's failing somewhere because they're not handling any of this shit well.
No. Like, just from business, from a business standpoint, like, I am a project manager, and I'm thinking, I can't ever fathom telling somebody, a customer more or less, much less millions of consumers, hey, this is going to be delayed for a fourth time or a third time or whatever the hell it is, even though we gave you a hard date like several other times and really promised you that this is going to be it. And not only that, the date that we're going to give you is an odd number. It's like, what, 21 days?
It's 3 weeks out, exactly, yeah.
It's like, that's weird. That's a weird time frame.
It makes me wonder what they're still doing, and also... The game already went gold, so I guess that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Well, they said they're trying to do it for the consoles now, because now...
Yeah, they cited it as a problem
PC's done.
With the next-gen versions, and they want everything working perfectly in conjunction.
Yeah, which just is code for, like, something got fucked. And, yeah, they announced that the game went gold, and... I've seen that there's been some back and forth on this as to, oh, you know, you have one side of the fence that's saying, oh, well, you know, games going gold has always been a little shaky for a while now, you know? And then the other side of the fence is saying, well, no, it's not. Usually games mean going gold means that it's done and you settle for a day zero patch or something like that. And I agree with the latter. I had never seen a game go gold and actually end up announcing itself to say, hey, we're going to delay it a few weeks out after.
Here's the thing, though. Like, to me, again, going... I don't really think... I've never seen that in particular. But
yeah.
I don't think going gold really means much anymore. And I point to things like No Man's Sky. If purchased a physical copy of No Man's Sky and put it into a PlayStation 4 and were not connected to the internet, that game does not remotely resemble the game No Man's Sky is right now.
Which is wild. It's wild. But I guess just for you guys specifically, they have the pressure under their belts from being one of the most anticipated games of, like, I don't even know, the decade. And, yeah, they got a lot on their plate. Personally, I don't give a fuck because who cares? Like, you just got games. I don't know.
Yeah,
there's
we'll
so
be
many
fine.
Games. I mean, and this is, that's privilege talking right there, baby.
Honestly,
I'm gonna be honest.
I was like, that's one less thing I gotta play.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. That's privilege, baby. And if you are a diehard fan of it, it's only 3 weeks. I am so endlessly curious, because you'll never know as to what the hell happened.
I just like reading the comments.
Because, like, this, can you imagine just from the... I feel bad for the PR
also,
people and the social people.
I'm not ready to say we'll never know what happened. Give them a year. Danny O'Dwyer will do a documentary.
And they'll just say, yo, it's fucked, man. No way. They've had so much bad press about it already. There's no way. I don't believe you'll ever really know.
Oh, come on.
Like,
Danny O'Dwyer knocks on your door with his charming Irish accent. You'll tell him whatever he wants to know.
And then the CEO will go hunt. But I remember they came from... I remember reading that an employee said that the day of, CEO was like, oh, yeah, it happened. Sorry. You know, you gotta keep going.
Yeah.
And then in another interview, one of the other executives was like, hey, the crunch isn't that bad.
Yeah, and then 24 hours later, he was forced to put out a statement where he was like, hey, I spoke on crunch And he goes, in not even in a way that was irresponsible, that was incorrect and harmful, and I shouldn't have done that. And everybody's like, all right, yeah, but like,
so
you guys need to settle down.
They just go back to it.
So we're gonna get back to our crunch.
Yeah, they just go. So coffee is in the break room. But afterwards, go.
I just love looking at it, and it's like he's like, the crunch wasn't that bad. And I'm like, yeah, tech millionaire says employees treated fairly.
You know what though? In regards to crunch too, I do see devil's advocate. If I was an employee working on that
devil's
game,
devil's avocado, Larry.
Yeah, devil's avocado. I mean, it's hard to say. I would imagine that there's a good amount of people there who just don't give a fuck. They're just like, yeah, well, I'm working on the game of the decade, dude.
Oh, I'm sure, but that doesn't necessarily like. The thing is, like, whether they really give a shit about it at the core of it, like, it's exploitation that shouldn't be allowed to happen in the first place. Like, because the thing to me always is, like, they're not working on a cure for cancer. Like, they're making a video game, and if it takes a little bit longer, maybe we just shouldn't be so blasé about dates and putting, like, pressure points on shit like this. Shit that is pure entertainment. That's just me.
Well, I'm always reminded of, with Raising Kratos, I'm always reminded of that one scene. I forget what those, the two women on the Santa Monica team, and my memory's fading, which sounds terrible. And, they were asked about that, Crunch specifically, and they just, like, you could just tell, they just look so drastically uncomfortable. It's they don't even want to comment
on it. It's an uncomfortable thing and to skirt around.
It's like, you could tell they're thanking their lucky stars that they even have the families they do, because like I have to imagine that they were just away forever.
Yeah.
For like a year or two or three. It's like, damn. So I don't know. Game development is a tricky mistress, because you really have to be passionate about something that does not pay very well. So.
Yep.
But hey.
Hey.
Next week is next gen, baby. I don't get paid to care about that stuff. I get paid to give you the news.
I get paid with this money in a coffee mug that's funding my console.
Right. Oh, you do? You do got cash in there.
I do. There's $400
in
this coffee mug.
Is that from the selling of the stuff?
Yeah, there's $400 in this coffee mug.
Damn. Maybe I'll sell my stuff.
You should sell your stuff.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll sell my stuff. I was clearing out some board games the other day, and I was like, I want to sell these. I said, I'll donate these, because I usually like to donate, like, my comics and stuff rather than sell them, because, I don't know.
Yeah,
I was
thinking of
kids reading a comic and then getting them addicted and then, you know, fueling the cycle even more.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Really get them early.
And then one day they'll be
I feel like the earlier you get them, the better it is for the capitalist.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
no, you're a good American.
Thank you. So I feel like, you know, I'm a long-term thinker and strategizer, so... But for the board games, I called this board game cafe, and I was like, yo, can I just give you my board games? And they were like, hell yeah, dude. And then afterward, I was thinking, that's a great idea. And I thought, why don't I just give this to Goodwill, bro? I was like,
so I called the cafe back up, and I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, I said, I thought about it, and why am I going to give you something for free to then, if I ever walked into the store,
actually,
you charge me $10?
Actually, can I say this to you? Because I feel like this is the better move. If you haven't donated them yet, call a local hospital.
Oh, and give them as a donation.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll give them over. Because I got some good stuff here, and I figured,
because,
those
hospitals
tend
to not have a ton of shit for, like, kids who are sitting in, you know, wards over there to do. So I feel like that might be the better gesture, in my opinion.
Because, listen, not to toot my own horn, but some of the stuff I got is pretty rad. So if I was, you know, a kid, and I was like, oh, I want to play a game. Because I always remember the kind of stuff that I wanted to play as a kid. I remember, because you only got the cool games in, like, the orthodontist office, because they had fucking money.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were like, oh, you want to play this N64? Don't worry, I got, like, 20 of them in the back. Don't even worry about it. I'm like, wow, this guy's cool. But now I was thinking, man, if I was just in, like, the general practitioner's office or even, like, a hospital, they'd be like, I want to play a game. And they bust out some cool shit. I think, wow.
This guy knows it.
This hospital's dope. Or this place is dope. So, yeah, maybe I will. I'm going to go look those up. Thank you.
No problem.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Did you watch Mando?
I did, and it's fantastic, and I recommend that everybody watches it.
Fucking great episode.
Even if you're not the biggest fan of Star Wars, I don't even care.
Are you a fan of Westerns? Do you like space?
You like Baby Yoda?
Go watch.
Everybody
like
loves
Timothy Oliphant?
I like Timothy Oliphant. He's there. I didn't even know he was actually an expanded universe character.
Yeah,
that was already
that
established.
The story in question that they're adapting was established in 2015. and is
another reason why I'm hopeful for this series, because it's showing that you can do this kind of stuff with this expanded universe and everything will be popular and okay.
Absolutely.
Well, Rich, I guess the next time we talk, I mean, I could always text you. It's going to be soon. But, I mean, the next time we talk on the air, we'll be in a different America.
We will.
Do you have anything to say to the Americans of today?
I hope we're happy the next time you hear our voices.
I'll be happy.
Not me. No.
Just depends on in what capacity. But we'll go
there.
Yeah,
I guess that's fair.
But hey, everybody.
Let's sweep up. Let's go to house and get out of here. Yeah. Thanks to Ed for our intro. Thank you to Heather Ramos for our lovely artwork. Ask us questions, geckogamespodcast@gmail.com. And hit us up over on the tweeters. I am @TheRichMeister0, and you, of course, are @Beautiful_Eric. I feel like I stumbled there, so I'm going to say it one more time, @Beautiful_Eric.
Can you say it one more time?
@Beautiful_Eric.
Thank you.
It's been our pleasure. Let's get the hell out of here.
Bye, everybody.